WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Friday, April 7th. Coming up, we'll learn more about how staff at the Illinois Department of Corrections obtained do not resuscitate orders from prisoners even when they were not of sound mind. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois educators and state lawmakers are calling for a task force to scrutinize a state program that's supposed to help children experiencing a mental health crisis. Sarah Karp reports.
Members of the Illinois Education Association are reporting that assessments for kids, many of whom are threatening suicide, are taking too long, and treatment is often unavailable. Al Lorenz is the IEA's president-elect.
Some kind of comprehensive overview of this program is severely needed. And since the pandemic, the mental health issue has become something that's front and center.
Lorenz cited a WBEZ investigation that detailed problems with the program for kids from low-income families, called SAS. WBEZ found the state was not thoroughly tracking outcomes. Sarah Karp.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's proposed budget would mean a 7% increase across the state's public universities, including Southern Illinois University Edwardsville. Will Bauer has more.
Pritzker touted his proposed plan from the Edwardsville campus Thursday. He says it's the biggest increase in higher ed spending in the last two decades. At the top of his list, making a college degree from a public school more affordable. And the governor says it's working because freshman enrollment at SIUE is up 5% in the last year.
The smartest young people are choosing SIU in greater and greater numbers. And that's great progress that we should celebrate. But there's even more work to do.
That work includes adding $100 million for a state grant program dedicated to lower-income Illinoisans. His office says everyone who applied last year received one. I'm Will Bauer.
Children and families gathered at Martin Center in Champaign this week to enjoy food and learn more about science, entirely in Spanish. Illinois Newsroom's Luis Velasquez has more on the SENA y Ciencias program.
The Dinner and Science program takes place on the first Monday of every month during the school year. University of Illinois students teach 5 to 12-year-olds. This week, graduate student Kenji Hernandez focused on how crystals are made.
You know, it's important for kids to kids already learn about science, I believe, in school, in English. And also it's important for them, like coming from Latinx backgrounds, to at least have those same concepts relearned or learned again, but in Spanish.
The students learn how to make their own crystals using hydrated potassium, aluminum sulfate, and hot water. Hernandez says it's important for Latinx students to understand science, and he hopes this will encourage them to study it further. I am Luis Velasquez, Illinois Newsroom.
Parkland Theater had its first performance of Sweeney Todd last night. The musical follows a barber who seeks revenge against a judge who sexually assaulted his wife. Heather Ann Lehman, the theater's operations assistant, says the show introduced Parkland students to talented actors in Champaign.
This has been a wonderful opportunity for our students. Our students here are getting such great training by being involved in a production like Sweeney Todd and being able to work with community members and professional community members. We've got people on our team who are from U of I or who have done professional Broadway.
The next showings of Sweeney Todd will be today and tomorrow at 7:30 p.m., and weekend performances will continue until April 23rd. For more information, visit the Parkland Theater's website. Still to come, we'll learn more about how Illinois prisoners sign do not resuscitate orders when they weren't of sound mind. That story is next on 217 Today.
The new four-part documentary, Fight the Power, How Hip-Hop Changed the World, recounts the origins of the revolutionary art form, hip-hop. The film explores hip-hop's roots as an expression of experience that was groundbreakingly unapologetic. Fight the Power was written by Public Enemy's Chuck D. It reveals how a black-focused cultural phenomenon changed American history. Learn how you can watch this and other documentaries as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. When a person signs a do not resuscitate order saying they don't want certain medical interventions to stay alive, they're supposed to do it with informed consent, clear thinking, and no outside pressure. but staff at the Illinois Department of Corrections obtained do not resuscitate orders from prisoners even when they were not of sound mind. That's according to a report from an independent court monitor who made the allegations last June. 9 months later, the department still has not changed the policies around these life and death matters. Shannon Heffernan reports.
After Melinda Felisky's dad, George Williams, died inside prison, she got a box of his belongings. A reading lamp, bright orange shower shoes, a set of dominoes. Artifacts of how he passed the time behind bars.
In all honesty, I was surprised how much stuff he had. He had all kinds of things. So, you know, he had his life. He had his routine.
Felisky's dad, Williams, was 71 years old and had been incarcerated for about 2 decades. He had cancer, but it was not end stage, and he'd been receiving treatment. Still, he signed a do not resuscitate order, basically saying when it came to medical interventions, he only wanted comfort care. Felisky respects her dad's right to make that kind of choice, but there was a problem. According to an independent monitor, the doctor who signed off on his DNR was a fill-in doctor, seeing Williams for the first time. There was no evidence that Williams was able to review his prognosis and options with an oncologist. And Williams was wrestling with depression and refusing meals.
Well, it would have been nice had they reached out to the family. It would have been nice had they had him sit with a counselor, a mental health counselor, and talk to them. You know, and I don't know that he even understood what he was signing.
Once Felisky's dad signed the DNR, staff apparently stopped almost all care for him. He died about 5 months later. Felisky doesn't trust the motivations of prison healthcare staff who obtained the DNR.
He didn't have someone looking out for his best interest, in my opinion. He didn't get the right therapy that he obviously should have had. And it's like they treated him like he wasn't a person with feelings and he didn't matter. And that's really hard.
The review of Williams' death and medical records by the independent monitor was part of a legal settlement over poor medical care inside the Illinois Department of Corrections. The monitor reviewed 25 deaths. He flagged 3 as having problematic DNRs. In one case, a man was allowed to sign documents with just an X, even though medical records showed he was, quote, profoundly demented. The monitor wrote the case, quote, gave the impression that stopping further medical care was really the wish of the patient, when, because of the patient's dementia, it was likely the decision of the IDOC, end quote. In court, the Department of Corrections said there were inaccuracies in the monitor's report, but they would not provide WBEZ with details about what those inaccuracies were, citing pending litigation. They also declined to comment on specific cases because of medical privacy. Alan Mills is executive director of Uptown People's Law Center and a lawyer on the litigation over healthcare. He says the issue with DNRs is a symptom of an even bigger problem.
We don't make plans for old sick people in prison.
Around 6,500 people in Illinois prisons are labeled by the department as elderly. Close to 100 people are essentially sick and shut in, living in infirmaries. And around 50 people are over 80 years old. Mills and the monitor say if the state wants to keep that ailing and aging population behind bars, they need to give them proper support.
We don't have anybody who sits down with somebody who's beginning to deteriorate in health and say, okay, this is what we can do. How much of this do you want? And make an overall plan for the last couple of years of somebody's life. Instead, we just let them deteriorate essentially without anybody paying attention.
Mills said that when it comes to something as serious as signing a DNR, there needs to be real guardrails in place. Because prison medical workers who are employed by a private company have incentives to obtain DNRs.
It's already short-staffed in medical care, and that means that people don't get it. DNRs are an easy way to sort of justify not giving them treatment.
The monitor wrote that the department needs to change their policies, so people can't sign DNR papers if they can't give proper consent. But 9 months later, prison officials said they are still in the process of revising their medical policies. Shannon Heffernan.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be sunny with a high of 60 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Sarah Karp, Will Bauer, Luis Velasquez, Piotr Fedchuk, and Shannon Heffernan. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.